Today, as we come to the table,
are we doing the latest trend? Are we doing what's cool? I don't mind cool. If you're cool, be cool. I'm not cool, so I can't, but you might be. I look at, wow, that person's cool. I'm glad you're cool. I'm not. I just watch the cool people. That's great. But we're not going to do something at Calvary because it's cool. It needs to be ministry. I don't have a problem, again, with fun worship music and fun things. That's not what I'm saying. God's fun. And God's very creative. And God's very lively in his worship. And he's very lively in what he does. He's a living God. But if it's just to be trendy, you know, we're not going to do that.
Not all cultural trends are harmful. Our God is our creator, and that creative nature is reflected in us, the dirt he breathed life into. Because of that, we're going to write new songs and come up with new styles and ways to worship and serve him. That's a beautiful thing. New understanding of Scripture, when guided by the Holy Spirit, can bring new life and breath into his church. Not all change is a bad thing. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. As Pastor Mark will warn in today's message, while we shouldn't be afraid of change, we need to be sure that the change lines up with the Word of God and isn't just the latest trend in popular culture. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he continues to study Jesus' message to his church in Revelation chapter 3.
Now, again, as we come to chapter 3 in Revelation, we get to the last three churches. If you remember last week, we looked at the loveless church, Ephesus. We looked at the persecuted church. We looked at the compromising church. We looked at the corrupt church. This week, we're looking at the dead church, the faithful church, and the lukewarm church. Now, remember, all of these churches were literal churches that were there in Asia Minor at this time, but they also were churches that represented the church as a whole. That is, you'll find today all seven of these churches around the world and here in America, and probably even here in Knoxville. Churches will sometimes move from one type of church to another. Sometimes it just kind of overlaps with others. Sometimes it's firmly in one position. But the key is it's God's message, Jesus' message to the churches, because it represents his entire church. And of course, our job is to find out which one are we? What is God saying to us? Where do we need to repent? Do we need to repent? How do we do that? And again, finding out and making sure that we're walking with God the way God wants us to. And it's so easy to veer off course. So simple. Even for a church that has the right direction, it's easy to veer off course. And so the Lord again gives us these churches as a reminder of what to watch for, rebuke sometimes, encouragement sometimes. And today we come to again the dead church. Now again, one other thing to remember is that these churches also, we now know, looking back in history, can see that these churches represent different periods of church history prophetically. And how do we know that? Because we look back now and we see exactly the way the churches are lined up in order has been exactly the different eras of church history. They've all gone that way. The first church started on fire and it began to fall away and it lost its love for God. We know that. That was represented in Ephesus. The next church was where the emperors came in and there were some 6 million Christians that were put to death during that time. That was the persecuted church. Immediately after that, the church, again, Constantine took over there in the Middle East, the Roman Empire, right before Alexander came along and took everything over. And when Constantine took over, it became a compromising church, if you will. And actually, Alexander was before, but Constantine took over. He was the compromiser, and so he brought compromise into the church. The church joined the state, if you will, and became watered down. And then we had the corrupt church, and this, again, represents that period of church history where Roman Catholicism came in. And again, there were true believers in Roman Catholicism, and there's true believers there today. But again, they begin to exalt the Pope and his word over the word of God, begin to worship Mary rather than worshiping Jesus. And that, of course, led to the Reformation. Remember Martin Luther and all these other guys that rebelled? And they said, only the scripture, we're not going to do this thing anymore, and we're going to look to God. And the rebellion took place. That was the period of the corrupt church. And then from there, when Martin Luther and the others came on the scene, we now head into where we are in chapter 3 today, and that is the Protestant church. And where do we get the word Protestant? It comes from the word protest, really the Protestant church, if you will. And of course, out of that came all the denominations. And the denominations, although they started wonderfully, denominations by nature over time will drift. And maybe many of you, again, and let me say the same thing is true for non-denominations. I'm not acting like because we're an interdenominational or a non-denominational that we can't veer off as well. I think any church can veer off course. But historically, this represents the denominational movement where they started really on fire, and over time, they drifted away. You can look at certain church leaders of these denominations. The church was really going for it during that time, and you look at where they are now. And really, it's interesting, some of the denominations today, if you went back to the founder that found them and brought them to share in the pulpit, they wouldn't listen to him. They'd kick him out because they've gotten so far from what the original thought was in the heart. And it's the nature of man. God will raise up a movement. God will pour out his spirit over time. When that leader dies, typically it veers off course and goes another direction. And then God raises up another movement. Even Jesus in his day, remember, he said, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. And when the Lord raised up to do his ministry, he went outside of the established, if you want to call it denomination, of the Sadducees and Pharisees, and he started a whole new movement that had massive crowds, and again, the church was born. This represents, again, that movement. And the problem is, and the reason Sardis had died, and the reason denominations die, or non-denominations die, if they do, is because they get away from the dependence on the Holy Spirit. Now, again, like everything, there's balance. I think a lot of people take the Holy Spirit to an extreme, and that drives what I call the thinking Christian away because they see things done that don't really line up with Scripture and are a little bit out of bounds, if you will. And then you have those that go on the other side that don't allow the Spirit to move at all because they don't want to see those kind of things take place. The balance is right in the middle. The Word of God, solid foundation, allowing the Spirit to move, but allowing the Spirit to move within the confines of Scripture. And as long as you allow the Spirit to move within the confines of Scripture, you'll always be on target. Sardis had decided they weren't going to allow the Spirit to move, and so the church began to die. And again, a warning for any denomination or non-denomination to be aware of this. And now the Lord deals with this particular period of church history as we get into chapter 3. So chapter 3, verse 1, it says this, "And the angel of the church in Sardis..." To the angel, rather, of the church in Sardis, write, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." Now remember, with each church and whatever their issue was, he pulled one of his descriptors out of chapter 1 and used it for what he was going to say to that church. And notice the first thing he does is mention the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Remember, we identified them. In chapter 1, the seven spirits of God is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And the seven stars, if you will, are the pastors in the hand of the Lord walking among his churches. Again, messengers is literally the word there. Although some Bibles, and probably most translated angels, it's literally the word messengers. And I think messengers is a better translation the way it is in the original because it shows the Lord holding his pastors, if you will, moving in the Spirit. So God gets their attention and says, hey, I'm the one with the Holy Spirit. I want you to listen now to what the Holy Spirit is saying to this movement now that has become dead. He says, I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you're dead. Again, you have a history. You have a reputation. One of my fears for Calvary Chapel, again, I'm not picking on denominations. I grew up in a denomination. There are many reasons I went non-denominational or interdenominational because to me it tears down a lot of walls and helps the body of Christ to intermingle. I could go into all the different reasons. But I have the same concerns for Calvary Chapel or any non-denominational church. If you just coast where you are and you allow yourself to veer away from the things of the Lord, if you start making programs simply about meeting all the needs of the people rather than following the move of the Spirit, you don't just create something because the people want it. You say, God, what do you want? And what do you want me to do? Because if you just create things that people want, you scatter out the strength of the flock and you're not as effective. But you seek the Lord and say, God, what do you want to do? And then God raises that up. He says here again, you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. No doubt, again, another church that would have had a full parking lot. Another church that's probably had many programs, many activities, probably full calendars every month. Nothing wrong in that. Having a full calendar, being very active, that can also be a great sign that you're alive. So I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying it doesn't necessarily mean you are. And I think many churches seem alive and they're really dead because they're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead that fellowship. And he says in warning of that, now be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. I know that the particular movement that I came out of, I saw some things that were worthy to hang on to, but I saw a lot of things that had died, and this really spoke to me. It's like, you know, that they need to strengthen the things that remain, and they need to, again, pray for God to send revival. And I think every church can use that. I think, you know, again, as God evaluates these churches here, he's evaluating us. At Calvary Chapel, as we read this. And so we have to say, God, what is it that you're not finding in our works that are perfect before you? You know, again, is there anything here that's ready to die? I used to love, again, what Pastor Chuck would say. He'd say a lot of churches will have so many programs going that they keep them artificially alive when God left that program a long time ago. He said, it's been dead for years, but the church keeps pumping money into it. I think we need to say, where do we see the fruit? Where do we see the fruit? There's a lot of things we've done over the years at Calvary Chapel, and everybody gets excited. That was such a wonderful event. I said, so what happened? Well, I mean, people had fun, which is legitimate. It's legitimate to have fun. And I think there's a place to have fun. Don't get me wrong. But if it's supposed to be ministry, leading people to the Lord and seeing people come into the kingdom and there's never any fruit, you say, you know, maybe we need to look a different direction here. Even if it breaks, I'm going to say it, some tradition.
Tradition. Tradition.
Right? We have to follow the Spirit. God may come along and say something we've done at Calvary for years and years. Stop doing that. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to do this. And we have to be, as leadership and as a body, flexible enough. You know, an old wineskin would get hard. And you put the new wine in it and the gases would release. It would ferment inside of the container. And so because it was hardened and unrigid, it would pop and burst and spill out. He said, you need to be like new wineskins, able to expand with whatever the Lord wants to do. And so we have to be open. Again, within the confines of Scripture. That's the boundary. I think a lot of churches make a mistake of saying, I'll be open to whatever God wants to do, and they get involved in things that God, you can't even find in the Bible. So God's not doing it. Man's doing it, or flesh is doing it. But what's within the Scripture, we're to flow with and say, God, you do it. He says, this has happened here at Sardis. He says, remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Remember how it was when you received the word and you heard the word of God. Hold fast, that is, to what is good, if the movement's dying, and repent of the part that's dying. Hold fast and repent. And notice this, therefore, if you will not watch, if you will not keep your eye on what's happening and not just look at it in the sense of activity, but what the Spirit is doing, I will come upon you as a thief and you'll not know what hour I come upon you. It is sad because I've seen churches that seem very alive, very filled, very packed, and all of a sudden, just over time, almost like a thief, if you will, the Spirit's just gone. And nobody knows why. Why is God not working here anymore? Why is God not moving among us? And sure enough, you find out either there's things that people are doing in their own strength that God's not involved in, or you've got pastors or leadership behind the scenes that are involved in sin. They've grieved God's Spirit away, and it just dies. I think of Samson. Remember, Samson would always get up and conquer the enemy. No matter what happened, God was always with Samson, and God kept giving him grace and grace and grace to repent, and Samson didn't repent. And finally, when he gave away the final secret, his commitment to be a Nazarite, which was represented by his hair not being cut, right? When he gave that away, that was the final straw. God said, now you've decided the commitment you made to me, you've completely abandoned and turned away from. And God's Spirit left him like a thief. And what happened? It says, Samson got up to fight the Philistines like he had done before, and he had no power. He had no strength, and he was blinded and thrown into prison. And this is what happens to us individually, and this is what happens to a church that is not watching. Lord, are we following you, or are we doing the latest trend? Are we doing what's cool? I don't mind cool. If you're cool, be cool. I'm not cool, so I can't, but you might be. I look at, wow, that person's cool. I'm glad you're cool. I'm not. I just watch the cool people. That's great. But we're not going to do something at Calvary because it's cool. It needs to be ministry. I don't have a problem, again, with fun worship music and and fun things. That's not what I'm saying. God's fun. And God's very creative. And God's very lively in his worship. And he's very lively in what he does. He's a living God. But if it's just to be trendy, you know, we're not going to do that. He says, I'll come upon you as a thief. And you won't know what hour I've come upon you. He says, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, for they shall walk with me in white, for they're worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. What a strange verse. There's several of these in the scripture. We're not going to take the time to veer off. I will just say this. If God promises those that are faithful will not be blotted out of the book of life, it gives the implication that those that are not faithful could be. Now, I'm not going to fight with you over theology, and I'm not going to tell you, I'm not even going to go into it. I'm going to say, I'll leave that between you and the Lord to work out. My job is simply to read it to you as your pastor and let you work it out between you and God. But there is a booklet I've done on the back that I get no money from. I'm not saying this because it will make more money for Christmas. But there is a little booklet I did called Issues and Verses I Can't Ignore. And these are the ones I can't ignore. I can't pretend they're not there. I sometimes would like to. It's less controversial. But if you want to read some of those, you can grab that book. The bottom line is, I would say, we should never take that chance. We need to be drawing into the Lord. More than ever, we need to be drawing into the Lord, especially in the days in which we live. I know people argue all the time, you know, whether someone can walk away or not walk away. And one day we'll know the ultimate truth of it. I think there's probably some balance somewhere in the middle that God will work out. And we'll see that when we get into heaven, that God knows. But the reality is, here's the bottom line. You still love the way Pastor Chuck was saying it. And I quote him a lot because I so many things I learned from him. But Jesus said this, abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me and you'll bear fruit. The key is just abide. Don't stop abiding. And it's never an issue. He says, but this I'll do. I'll confess his name before my Father, the one that, again, stays true to me, and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So the Protestant church era dealt with through verse 6. Now we come to, again, the Church of Philadelphia. This is the faithful church. And I believe when we look at church history, if these really do line up in different eras of church history, and again, to me, it's pretty obvious that they do, this is the one we're currently in. And what makes this really cool is this is the one that speaks about the rapture. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But this is the current church age that we are in. He calls it the faithful church, the Church of Philadelphia. Philadelphia means brotherly love. He said, again, there were brothers that helped develop that region, and they loved each other very much. They had a reputation for their close relationship. And it's naming the region Philadelphia, the place of brotherly love. He says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write. Here's his descriptor. These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Again, notice his introduction here. What he's saying is, for this church of brotherly love, if you're truly going to be a church of brotherly love, you need to be holy and you need to be true. Because that's who I am. I am holy and I'm true. And if there's anything we need right now, I believe in the Philadelphia church period that we're in, is holiness. As the church is losing its holiness. And I'm not talking about what you wear or how you talk. Holiness simply means set apart for God. Set apart for God. It means to be not like the world. He says, if you're going to be faithful, you need to be holy. And you need to be true. That's who I am. And he says, he who has the key of David, he opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. God is saying, I'm going to give an open door to this church time and allow the doors to stay open until I come to get my church. And I believe right now God is keeping the doors open for the church. I'm not talking about just in attendance here today. I mean, in general, regardless of what happens in the world, there are open doors around the world for the body of Christ. And although persecution has increased and persecution will increase around the world, the closer we get to the rapture of the church, God has said here, I'm going to keep the door open. I'm going to allow the church to minister. How that's going to look when this all pans out, I don't know. But the reality is God has given us this opportunity and we need to be walking through that door. We need to be taking every opportunity that we have. Again, not just in the sense of, as we talked about, whatever program we can develop, but doors that God is truly opening. I'll tell you something. Listen, I encourage you guys, be men and women of faith. Don't be afraid to venture in faith. If you see something that you believe God wants to do and you step out and it doesn't happen, here's the worst thing that can happen. You're right where you were before you stepped out. It's no different. But if you step out and God does something amazing, wow. Wow. I think of Jonathan. Remember Jonathan? And I either talked to the staff about it or talked to you guys about it or talked about it on Wednesday night. So I don't remember if I did. Bear with me if I told you. I won't go long on it. But remember Jonathan, his armor bearer, he saw the Philistines. He said, you know what? Maybe God will just give us victory. He's like, there's a bunch more up there than we are. Well, listen, who cares? God's God. So let's take a venture of faith. I'll go up there. I'll say this. If they say that, then we won't go up. If they say this, let's go. God's given them to us. Jonathan goes up. Just out of the blue, says it. They say the right thing. They go up this hill and wipes out over 20 Philistines, one guy. And then the battle breaks out between the armies and Israel overtakes the Philistines and conquers them. The bottom line is you don't know what God's going to do unless you step out and let God do it. We have a powerful God, and I believe we're going to see great exploits by the people of God in the last days for those who will step out. Wouldn't it be great to know you were one of those that wasn't afraid to step out and you see the reward and the fact of what you did when you get to heaven and to think, I should have done it, I should have done it. Now again, might you fail? Yeah, you might. I've stepped out a lot on things. I said, Lord, if this is you, here we go. We're going to try it. Falling flat on my face. It doesn't feel good. It can even be embarrassing sometimes. But when you step out and you see God move, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. This was a church that wasn't afraid to step out. He's encouraging them. I've opened a door. Don't be afraid to go through it. Look at verse 8. I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. And you've kept my word, and you've not denied my name. What a beautiful thing to say. Their strength isn't strong, but they've been faithful to his word, and they haven't denied his name. Again, guys, be faithful to the word of God. Don't deny his name, now more than ever. And we'll get into the reason why here in just a moment. He says, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they're Jews but are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I've loved you. Now, this is interesting. In that day, the Jews were an accepted religion in Rome, but the church was not. And so what the Jews did, they jumped in with the Romans and they persecuted the church. And God saw that and said, you're persecuting me. He said, don't worry. I'm going to make them one day acknowledge that I was with you and I wasn't with them. And they're going to have to basically bow down into your position of authority. Now, this probably isn't going to happen until the kingdom of God. But it says we're going to be ruling and reigning with the Lord. And it would appear that God's going to force those that have opposed the church, especially those who said they were followers of the God of the Bible, to acknowledge they were wrong to humble themselves before those that had Jesus Christ. And so he's saying, look, don't worry. They're giving you a hard time. They say they have the God of the Bible, but they've rejected the very God the Bible speaks about, their own Messiah, Jesus Christ. And he says, they're going to acknowledge that one day. Don't worry. I will make everything right. Again, the God of justice in his timing. He says, because you've kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. What does the Bible say the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole world is? The Great Tribulation. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble in other places in Scripture. The Bible says it will be the worst time. Note this. The worst time in world history for mankind. Who can think of some really bad times in world history? Oh my goodness. I say that a lot lately. Sorry about that. Think about Hitler. That's one in just right here, generation before us or so. He says, that's nothing.
Thanks for coming to the table for God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Revelation. This final book of the Bible is not a book you want to jump into without having context from the rest of the Bible. If you did, you might think you were transplanted into some sci-fi apocalyptic nightmare of a story. But Revelation is so much more than the strange imagery and prophecies. Revelation points you to the fact that Jesus is supreme ruler over all and that he truly will bring peace to the world. Now that's something to look forward to. We hope, as you've listened today, that you've been encouraged to know what's to come if you're a follower of Christ. If having a relationship with Jesus is a new thing for you, we'd like to help you with that. We'd be so happy to meet you and talk to you about this in person. If you're in the Knoxville area, we invite you to come visit us at Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. Our morning services are at 8, 9:30, and 11:15. We also have a Sunday night Bible study at 6 and a midweek service every Wednesday night at 7. If you're not in the area, go ahead and check out thewaymedia.net and scroll down to the Calvary Knoxville link. Then scroll down to the Knowing Jesus link. If you're needing to hear this message again to grasp what was said, click on the Come to the Table link at thewaymedia.net or connect with the Way Media app. That's all the time we have for right now, but Pastor Mark has more to share as we look to the big picture of Revelation the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.